and ask you a question that was asked of me in the confessional one day when Father said, "What's your prayer life like?" And I said, "Well, my prayer," I wasn't expecting that question. I said, "Well, my prayer life is more like a conversation with God in that it doesn't really stop. Doesn't make me a saint." And that was kind of the right answer, if there is a right answer about that. But I also learned something about that conversational prayer with God and how to, yes, have a prayer life beyond prayer time, but also what prayer time is all about. It's kind of approached it from the opposite point that Father Robert McTagg, our Tuesday spiritual director, is going to make, and how to have a prayer life beyond prayer time. Father McTagg, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Glad to be of service, guys.
I was being so conversational with God, nothing wrong with that, that I forgot what formal prayer was all about. So I had to reintroduce myself to formal prayer. And besides the act of contrition that I said, in the evening before I went to bed, there was not much other quote unquote formal prayer, structured prayer. But there was that conversation with God. And I think you have to find that balance in your life for whatever fits you. Right, Father?
Well, yes. And again, it depends upon your state in life. You know, if you've got three kids in diapers, you're not going to be praying like a Carmelite. It's just not possible. You need that skeleton, that structure of, you know, morning prayer and midday prayer and evening prayer, however you can set it up for your state in life. But then you also need that sense of constant companionship. Because remember, our Lord didn't say pray more or pray better. He said pray always. And so that's the distinction between a prayer time. There are people who are faithful to prayer time, but it's a compartment. God is over here. I check in with him, and right. Then I go have real life for the rest of the day, and then I check with him at the end of the day. That's not transformative, and we miss out on a lot of graces that way.
How do we have those compartments in our life every day as we budget our time for everything else except prayer? But we do need those little compartments every single day. You've been very, very busy. You've worked in parishes, universities, hospitals, everything. How do you build in that time?
Through a lot of trial and error. And I won't tell you what the proportion of error and success was, but through a lot of trial and error. But you have to give it priority. And I remember reading a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. And this pastor said, "I don't like who I become when I don't pray. And I don't like the quality of my work when I don't pray. So I give priority to prayer." Now, props to him for having those non-negotiable segments in the day set aside for prayer. But that has to complement a constant alertness to God always being at work in the world, at every moment revealing himself, inviting us to become closer to him. We need to have the two together because that's the best preparation for heaven that there is.
Father McTagg, it's very great, but some of the upside to formal prayer can be kind of like scripture in that it can, you know, if we've memorized something, it tends to come to mind maybe during times of trouble when we need it, and that can give us that spark or something to start that conversation with the Lord.
Well, that's right. You know, I mean, there are times where I've had to bring people to emergency rooms, and I knew I needed to pray, and I was so scattered and so upset, but I could, you know, put my hand in my pocket and find my rosary and at least pray a decade of the rosary. So in times of stress and distress, having formal prayers memorized can be very reassuring, just like calling to mind scripture can be very reassuring also. So it's not a competition between prayer time and prayer life, but reteaching people to show how complementary the two are.
What do you do, Father McTagg, when you're praying and your mind wanders and you have to reorient yourself?
Well, you know, the Eastern monks say you can't control whether or not birds fly around your head, but you can control whether or not they build a nest in your hair. So I use the example of you swat away the mosquitoes, and then you go back to doing what you were doing. And, you know, sometimes the best prayer is prayer. We're faithful during the dry times. We're faithful during the distracting times. And we just redirect our attention and redirect our attention and redirect our attention. And as long as we don't walk away from the prayer, then that prayer is good and it's pleasing to God.
And it's in prayer life, as we talk about how to have a prayer life beyond prayer time with Father Robert McTagg, it's like building a muscle. It's like losing weight. You have to work at it. And the more you work at it, the more it becomes like breathing and it becomes a part of who you are.
Yes, that habit, establishing habits is really important. You want to get to the point where it just becomes second nature. And I tell people, don't tell me about how you feel. Tell me about what you want. So if you want to lose weight, then don't tell me that you feel like having the candy bar. Just orient yourself towards what will lead you to that goal. If you want sanctity, if you want union with God, then whether or not you feel like praying at any given moment is irrelevant. How are you planning to act to bring yourself closer to that goal?
And while your mileage may vary, what has happened in my particular case in fine-tuning my prayer life is I see that the Holy Spirit is presenting me opportunities many other times during the day and doing some of the most mundane things where I can pray.
Well, that's right. For a Jesuit, God is found in the thick of things, in the midst of things. We're meant to be contemplatives in action. We can have our big aha moments, our major God sightings in an emergency room or in a state of crisis, but also those mundane things, you know, mopping the floor, doing the dishes, you can have a sense of clarity that, oh, God is here and God is teaching me something and God is reminding me of an empty space in my heart in this quiet moment, and then I can choose to offer that empty space to God rather than trying to fill that empty space with a distraction.
What do you think God's going to ask us about our prayer life when we see him face to face?
Did you miss me when you couldn't find me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what he'll ask. You know, someone once said, you know, if you don't feel like going to Mass, why do you think you'll enjoy heaven? Because remember, we're called to be saints. We're called to delight in the worship of our beloved. That's the highest thing that we were made for. It perfects all of our faculties. And this life is meant to be that dress rehearsal. It's meant to be boot camp for that life of glory. If we walk away from it and settle for idols and toys and distractions, the afterlife, at best, is going to be very disappointing for us.
Have you noticed, and I credit the Relevant Radio app for doing this, and also perhaps what Glenn and I do for a living, where everything is timed right down to the second, but if you go to our Relevant Radio app and you can pray the Rosary with Father Rocky, and there's one without music, with music, and the super duper version that has, as Father Rocky puts it, has some other elements involved with the Rosary, it's 17 minutes. And I mention mm-hmm. that only because when you step back, Father McTagg, and you look at how you can simply waste 17 minutes, how many times have we done that, right, with our screen in the palm of our hands or at our desks,
oh, gosh,
that
yes.
you don't have 17, you know, I every time it dawns on me, I do expect God to say, remember you didn't have that 17 minutes for me that day, and it's like, oh yeah, so you just go you make the 17 minutes, that's all, and it's and then it becomes so transformative in your life. It sounds so basic, it almost sounds silly, but it's not, you know, if you have that time, give it back as a gift, the obvious is essential.
And, you know, we all have the same number of minutes in a day, and then right. many of us squander them. You know, when people yeah. start a diet, I tell them to have a food journal and, you know, realize what you're stuffing in your mouth that you yep. think about. People want to put their lives in order. They need to have a time journal and see how much of their lives they fritter away. I have a very dear friend who has a miserable commute every day for an hour each way, and I would end up chewing the steering wheel on the way to work if I had to make this commute. And he said, Father, it's the Rosary and the Divine Mercy. That's how yeah. I don't have a heart attack when I'm driving every morning and every evening. And I said, wow, I need to follow that man's good example. He's going to have a special place in heaven, because rather than let himself get road rage or worse, he's got the beads and he's got the Relevant Radio app, and that keeps him company during that commute, so it becomes an occasion of grace rather than a near occasion of sin.
And speaking to that Relevant Radio app, you can use it through the Bluetooth in your car, and many of you do, and you use that as kind of your quote chapel. It's your quiet time with the Lord through the Relevant Radio app, and again, only because we're so time oriented in this business, but if I know I've got a 20-minute drive, it's like, oh, I can do the rosary for 17 minutes, or we've got a 10-minute drive. Right. Oh, the Divine Mercy Chaplet is 7 minutes. And then, and in doing that, it's not so I can, rack up points in heaven, but the Holy Spirit then simply goes to work and you find people and things to pray for that may not have been on your radar up until that point, Father McTagg.
That's right. As we open ourselves up to God, God can do more work in us. My mentor, Paul Weiss, wrote in the book, The God We Seek, he said, think of an infant asleep and an infant awake. You love the child the same, whether he's awake or asleep, but the child can receive more of your love if you're awake. So likewise, for a Christian who prays, right, God loves you the same, but God can do so much more with you. And you can enjoy so much of the God you're made for if you are awake, if you are alert to his presence and to his invitations. And honestly, guys, if we keep saying no to those invitations become harder and harder to hear. Mm. We become numb. We lose our faculties for hearing those invitations, and that can lead us into a very dark place.
Yeah, and those are tremendous invitations that take you to brand new places. So instead of the dark places, you go to and you gravitate to the light, and you find that every single time. So if you do have that 10-minute commute or that 20-minute commute, it's great that you listen to us in the car radio. We appreciate that. But also at times, maybe just do the app through Bluetooth and pray rosary or a Divine Mercy Chaplet. And what a tremendous difference that will make in your life. And I've always wondered, Father McTagg, if you got hooked up to an EKG and a blood pressure monitor, what your blood pressure and your EKG would be when you're praying the rosary, when you're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Because I find in doing it in the car, like your friend who's got that 1 hour commute, all of a sudden it's almost like you're transported to your destination and there's this great sense of calm and peace that comes over you.
Well, yes, because you're getting closer to what you were meant for. We're not meant for stress and aggravation and road rage, and we're not meant for planning our lives according to our wisdom only. Now, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letter said, we misuse the phrase my time as if we were speaking of my boots, that my time is something that I've owned, that I own, that it's bought and paid for, and I get to do with it whatever I like. No, every single moment, every breath we take is an absolute unmerited gift. And then God will ask, what did you do with my gifts? What did you do with my largesse? Did you use them with my help to become a saint?
Right, right.
Or did you use it without my help to become something else? And that's going to be a difficult conversation for a lot of us to have.
We have a guest on this program, Harry Kramer, who's a professor of business and management at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management in Chicago. And he said when he asked for his wife's hand in marriage, he went to her father, and her father said, all right, but first you have to come with me. So he flew to the Twin Cities, and he went on a silent retreat with his future father-in-law. And he does that to this day. But his future father-in-law said, the most important number that you should know in your life is 168. He said, 168? That's the number of hours in a week. That's the gift that God has given you every week. What are you going to do with it? Wow.
Right.
Pretty powerful message. Right. Father McTagg has written about this in Aletea.org. We'll share it on our Morning Air Facebook page on how to have a prayer life beyond prayer time. Father McTagg is one of our spiritual directors here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We're always blessed to have your voice on the radio, Father. Thank you. God bless you.
Glad to be of service, man. God bless your good work.